Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Hello, friend, and thank you for joining us. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We are a gospel media ministry whose main focus is the Bible. We are committed to teaching the Bible and distributing the Bible. Each week, this teaching is broadcast around the world via radio. And for this year, we're on track to distribute 100,000 copies of the Bible. Psalm 19 says God's words are to be desired more than gold. This shows us God's word is one of the most valuable possessions someone could ever have. Here at Heralds of Hope, we are thrilled to partner with many of God's people around the world as we teach and distribute the Bible. The title of today's lesson is Haunting Fear, and it is taken from the first 10 verses of John 20. Before we go there, let's think about fear. You know, there are many things people fear. Children usually are scared of the dark and fearful of storms. Adults generally fear things like death or cancer and public speaking. However, it varies. Some people have many fears. Others seem to have no fears. The one thing our fears have in common is a small view of God. When our God is a big God who controls disease and death, and when our God is bigger than our enemies and bigger than the storm which we are currently in, then our fears decrease. As God becomes bigger, our fears grow smaller. The disciples experienced this firsthand when Jesus came to them walking on the water. They saw him and were terrified, because they thought they saw a ghost. He immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." He climbed in the boat with them, and the storm became still. This is a great example of what Jesus can and wants to do with our fears. Allow him in, and he will bring his peace. He is our refuge. The things we were afraid of don't disappear. They are still there, but since Jesus is with us, we are not afraid. We know that if he allows disease or persecution, or if our fears actually happen, he is big and he will help us. So instead of fear, we choose to trust him. The next time you are afraid, remember the words of Jesus. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Allow Jesus in and watch your fears shrink as Jesus becomes bigger and closer. Thanks again for being here. We're glad you joined us on Hope for Today. Now let's go with Pastor J. Mark to John 20 for a look at the disciples and their struggle with fear.
All of us have certain fears that nag us. In the letters we receive at Heralds of Hope, some people write things like this: "Please pray for me so I will have a prosperous life." Others write, "Please pray for me so I may pass my school exams." And still others ask us to pray things like this: "Pray that I might find a good life partner." You see, all of us have certain fears that nag us. And fears can be very distressing. They sap our vitality. They weaken us. They make us tired. And they misdirect our lives. Why do fears come to us? Are fears something normal? And is it possible to overcome fear? The disciples in Jesus' day, they had their fears. They had what I call haunting fear, the kind of fear that just kept on nagging them. In the sorrow and disappointment of the death of Jesus, fear was the normal response of those who loved him. And this is recorded for us in John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 10. I want to read that for you now, so listen carefully. John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 10. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and he came first to the sepulcher. And he stooped down and looked in and saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the sepulcher and saw the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple also went in, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. In this experience of the followers of Jesus, we can discern the realities which caused the haunting fear that they experienced. The first reality is the conclusion. When Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, it was the first day of the week, and it was very early. The text says, while it was still dark, she came. What does that tell you about her? What does that tell you about Mary Magdalene? It tells me she had a deep love for the Lord Jesus, and that love moved her to action, so that nothing was too much for her to do. So she came just as soon as it was proper for her to come, on that first day of the week, very, very early in the morning. And as she approached, she saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Matthew's gospel reports that an angel rolled the stone away. So when Mary arrived at the tomb, she saw that the stone had been rolled away from its mouth. Her immediate conclusion was that somebody had stolen the body. By inference, she drew the conclusion that the body of Jesus had been stolen. There were grave robbers in the community, and they had stolen the body of Jesus and carried it away. She didn't stop to look. She didn't stop to consider. Fear seized her and gripped her, and her conclusion drove her to do something about it. Her conclusion was based on insufficient evidence, because all she had seen was that the stone was rolled away from the door of the tomb. You know, we're like that sometimes too. We draw our conclusions with insufficient evidence, and they may indeed give rise to some of our haunting fears. There's a second reality then in this case of haunting fear. It is the consultation. Mary Magdalene ran quickly to Simon Peter and told him her conclusion. She said, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." In other words, she was saying to Peter, "The body is stolen." Now you can imagine, can't you, how quickly Peter and John looked at each other, and perhaps they simply nodded. There wasn't a long consultation, it was a very brief one, and they started out for the tomb, racing to arrive there. They ran. They agreed to investigate. It seemed like it was second nature with them. They knew that this event needed some looking into, it needed some verification. But Peter was a little slower, and the other disciple outran him and arrived first at the tomb. He saw that the stone was rolled away, and when he stooped down, he looked into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he didn't go into the tomb. So that consultation was very brief before they started out for the tomb. And John, we believe it was John, arrived first, and he simply surveyed the situation without drawing any other conclusion than that which Mary had reported. So what she told them was accurate in his mind. You know, it is a good idea to consult with someone else and to exercise some restraint before you reach your conclusions. It didn't help their fear, however, their haunting fear that somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. And then there's a third reality. It is the confirmation. Peter came to the tomb, and he stooped down, and he went in. He didn't just look in. He went in to examine the facts as they were available to him. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin or the handkerchief that they would normally wrap around a person's head when they buried them was not lying with the linen clothes, but was wrapped together in a place by itself. And so the body of Jesus was not there. That was absolutely true. Now, we do not know exactly how the clothes were arranged. Were they unwound or lying in a heap? Or did they still retain the form of Jesus' body and he just emerged out of them? But one thing for sure, the body was not there. Peter understood that the body of Jesus had disappeared. And then John, the other disciple, went in also, and he saw the same thing that Peter saw. The Bible says he saw and believed. But what did he believe? I think what it means is that he believed what Mary told them. Someone had stolen the body of Jesus. And the reason we say that is because verse 9 tells us, as of yet, they knew not that the scripture said he must rise again from the dead. So they must have believed what Mary reported. They had no understanding about the Lord's resurrection. So here then was the confirmation of Mary's conclusion. There was no body there. Consequently, there was no hope there. As a result, there was no future there, no future for them. All the evidence pointed to Mary's conclusion that someone had stolen the body. You know, so much had happened in the last 3 days that the disciples were unable to take it all in. It was his death 3 days before, and then his burial in the tomb, and then the great stone rolled before the mouth of the tomb. And now the tomb is empty, and his body is gone. All of this resulted in a haunting fear that everything was lost. But Jesus had told them he would rise. Their hope was overshadowed by their fear. I want to brighten your hope. Your haunting fear can be relieved if you will only trust in Jesus. Because, my friend, the tomb is empty. Jesus rose, and he is alive.
Thank you, J. Mark, for this teaching from God's Word. And thank you for joining us. It is a privilege for us to study God's Word and learn from it. Now let's take what we've heard and put it into practice. Don't be like the man in James 1 who sees himself in a mirror, then goes away and forgets what he looked like. Instead, be like the man in verse 25 who looks intently into the word and is a doer of the work. God says, that man will be blessed in what he does. If you have any questions or if you would like today's teaching, just contact us and ask for it by title or tell us the passage. We also have a study guide available designed to help you learn more from each lesson. It is called the Hope Herald. Please let us know if you're interested, and we would be happy to give you one. The quickest and easiest way you can reach us is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another way you can contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please look on our website for this teaching and other similar teaching. There you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Again, here's the contact information. Email is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We thank you for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as Pastor J. Mark continues teaching from the Gospel of John. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with this blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.